I don't know. But now it's recording.
Alright, so when we last left our heroes, we were discussing in the ninth brach in Barich Aleinu, the Barich Aleinu Letova, which means the bless the year on us for good. So we mentioned last week the Iyun Tefillah, who points out the unusualness of this phrase, Barich Aleinu, bless on us. He says, obviously, and it's clear from context, that what it means is Lema'anenu, for it's bless it for us. He says that the language bless on us is a very unusual language that he doesn't find any parallel for. So we mentioned last week the Avnei Eliyahu, that explained, according to Avnei Eliyahu, the Aleinu meant bless it, bless the year according to our actions, meaning that it's that's bless it on us, meaning as we are, according to Lafima Asenu, according to our ups and downs, according to the level that we're at, according to our actions at the time. And it's a tefillah, a bakasha, a request for siyata dishmaya, for heavenly assistance, that we should be deserving in, that we should merit to be deserving, we should have heavenly assistance to do the right thing, and thereby to be more in a position to receive bracha. But the Aleinu is referring to that it should be according to us. I want to mention one more idea. Rav Hirsch explains somewhat similar but a different direction, and the Siach Yitzchak, which we referenced a little bit before, 2 weeks ago, but the Rav Hirsch and the Siach Yitzchak is a very similar idea. Rav Hirsch says that it's Bareich, the bracha should be Aleinu and Letova. So Rav Hirsch says it should be a bracha which is Aleinu. It should be a bracha which is on us, meaning that it should be a bracha as far as we are concerned, and it shouldn't be, Hirsch quotes the Lashon, Hagefen Titin Piria of Hayayin Bayokar, that the vine gives off its fruit, but the wine is expensive, meaning that we mentioned this idea as really part of the theme of this bracha, that you can have a bracha which incredible bounty comes, but it doesn't have any effect, that the prices are still high, that the bracha cannot make its way to the point where it has any impact on us. It could be that the bracha comes true, the produce is plentiful and bountiful, and there's bracha in the rain and in all of the fruit. But still, that bracha doesn't make its way to us because prices don't go down. Mentioned, you know, one example, the sellers, you have some kind of conspiracy between them to keep the prices high or whatever they do. But you could have the bracha, which is not a bracha for us. So Rav Hirsch says that's the bakasha of Barich Aleinu, that it should be a bracha on us. It should be a bracha as far as we are concerned, and the bracha shouldn't be, you know, an impotent bracha, which even though it, you know, turned out an incredible produce, an incredible growth, and the bracha is there, but it doesn't reach us. The Siach Yitzchak is maybe somewhat of a step further. The Siach Yitzchak says that you can have really a bracha in vain, right, where you have plenty, and maybe even the prices go lower, but nobody has any money, and no one can take advantage. So that's very similar to the idea of Rav Hirsch, that the bracha is here, but no one's able to take advantage of it. So the example that no one has any money, but perhaps even if you have that, because if you have that, it's such a shnas, a shana of bracha, there's such plenty in the produce. So let's say that the sellers don't make their conspiracy. So there's the supply, there's an overload of supply, and who loses out? So everyone who's buying is a great bracha for them. Everything's cheap, but the sellers, the farmer, right? So you could have that it's a bracha for everyone except for the farmer. So the bracha should be litova. The bracha should be Barich Aleinu Letova, that it should be for good, that it should be, it shouldn't have any, you know, bad side effects. It shouldn't be a detriment to anyone. We mentioned this idea a long time ago, way back in the bracha of Avos, in the first bracha, by in our discussion of Gomel Chasadim Tovim. We discussed what the word, what the idea of Tov is. And we mentioned that Unklus, the Pasuk of Lo Tov Heos Adam Levado, it's not Tov, it's not good that a person should be alone, and therefore he made an Ezer Kenegdo, an Astal Ezer Kenegdo. So the Unklus there translates Lo Tov as Lo Sakin. It's not set up, it's not fixed, it's not complete. It's not complete, right? It's like it's incomplete. It's not whole for a person. It's not completely set up for a person to be by themselves. Unklus translates the word tov there to mean it's not complete, and that's, you know, really the man without the Ezer Kenegdo is incomplete. Couldn't know for Sheva Brachos. You're ever speaking on Sheva Brachos, we'll talk about, you know, that's, you probably won't be doing that again, right? But, I said you probably won't be doing that, you can speak at other people's Sheva Brachos, but, that the idea of the, that it's not good for man to be good means it's incomplete for man to be by himself. Similarly, Rashi, on the notes that on the second day of creation, it does not say Tov at all. And on the third day of creation, it says Tov twice. It says Vayar Elokim Ki Tov twice on the third day of creation. So Rashi gives two explanations. His first explanation, he says that because Machlokis was created on the second day, so therefore it didn't say Tov. But Rashi, in this other explanation, Rashi says that what happened was that the creation of Yom Sheni was the Mayim. And the creation of the Mayim was not really completed until the third days, when you had the Yikavua Mayim, when you had the creation that the water was a part of, or was destined for, was not complete until the third day. And therefore, when it was completed on the third day, that's when it says, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. So what it means when Hashem says that he saw that something was Tov, it means that he saw that it was complete, and saw that it was that when that was finished, that's when you can say about it that it's tov. The same idea, that the idea of tov is that something is complete, and the same idea we explained that the Medrash says that the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, Vayaras Anar Ki Tov, that she saw, or Vayaras Yeled Ki Tov, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so his mother saw that he was Tov. The Medrash has several different explanations there, but one of the explanations that the Medrash says, what does it mean that he was Tov? It means that he was Nolad Mahol, that he was born circumcised. So the Medrash, I think, sees that is describing as Tov, and Tov means complete. Normally a person is born incomplete, and there's the last step in the completion of a person that has to be done by us, by his parents. They have to, on the eighth day they do the bris milah, that's the completion of the person. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, he was tov, means he was complete. She saw that he was born complete. She saw that he was born mahol. He already had that tikkun that is normally done by Bnei Adam. So that's what she saw, that he was complete, knew there was something special about him, because there was he was complete. There's a special. It's the you know, a little bit of a remez to the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something special about him, that he was destined for to be the Navi, that there's no Navi like him, that there was a, that he reached a status which is not just any other, it's not just that he was the highest, the happened to be the highest level Navi, but he was qualitatively a step beyond every other Navi. One of the Ikrim is that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was different, right? That's part of what's hinted to in the fact that that he was tov, that he was born mahol, Rav Ruderman. I heard this from Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, that Rav Ruderman, that there is in, I think in the Tiferes Yisrael Mishnayos, he quotes a matzasi kasav, I found written. He's not referring to a medrash, he's just saying he found written somewhere a story that a certain king, he heard about this Moshe, and he wanted to know, you know, what was the nature of this Moshe. And so he had an artist who could draw pictures of people, and in the pictures you would capture the midos of the person. And so he sent the artist to go take a portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the artist came back, the portrait of Moshe Rabbeinu, and saw the portrait, and it was captured in the portrait, that he was the lowliest, most despicable person, terrible, midos, angry, and Baal Gaiva, and all these things. People, this person of such stature, that he's such a degraded person. So he sent a messenger to ask him, and Moshe Rabbeinu responded, yeah, it's true, that's who I am by nature, but I overcame that and I grew beyond that. So Rav Ruderman took a black marker and crossed that out in the Tiferes Yisrael. And Rav Tzvi, I heard him say that Rav Ruderman, first of all, it's not a medrash. It's a matzasi kasav, and people say it was a Christian story. It's not a story that has any Jewish sources. Rav Ruderman held that it was nonsense, because said it's not shayach about someone about whom it says that he was no lad mahol, that he was, when he was born, the other thing the Medrash says, that it was nismala bayis ora, that the house filled with light, that there was something special about him from when he was born. He was destined for this role. He didn't happen to overcome his taivas and his midos and become, there's different discussion about how much of Moshe Rabbeinu's ascent was through his own accomplishment, but certainly there was something that was special about him from the point of that he was born, and it's not shayach to say about him that it was such a lowly start. There was something special about him from the point that he was born, and that's what it means, that it was when he was born, that it was tov. It was something complete about him from the point that he was born. So in our context, that it should be Barech Alinu as Hashana Azos Letova, that it should be Letova, the bracha should be complete. The bracha shouldn't have anything negative or vain, shouldn't have any useless consequences or detrimental consequences to the bracha. That even if the bracha is generally a good thing for the Jewish people or for the world, and most people are benefiting from this bracha, but if there are, you know, negative side effects of this bracha, if there is collateral damage that some people lose out because of the bracha, so then that's not a bracha letova. A lot of people are very letova, complete and lacking about the bracha, and that's the tefillah that we say, is that it should be a bracha letova, that it should be complete in all aspects of the bracha. There should be nothing lacking about it. There should be nothing that is deficient in the tova, in the benefit of the bracha. So, next words, because I'm kind of skipping around the words here, but if Barech Alinu Hashem Elokeinu Es Hashana Hazos, he said he should bless this year. So, try to understand, first of all, what's special about, you know, a year at all, and what we mean when we say bless this year. Why specifically bless, why are we focusing on this year? I mean, obviously, we're not going to focus on last year or next year, but why are we specifying something particular about the year that we are currently in, as opposed to just a bracha? Why does it have to be defined and limited to the here and now? Why is it, and as much as you're limiting it to the here and now, let's go with today, let's go with right now. What's the special about this year? So, I think possibly could explain as follows. The Maharal in Gvuros Hashem in Perek Nun Aleph, chapter 51. So he's talking there about Halach Ma'anya, where he in Gvuros Hashem, where he starts going through the Seder of Leil Pesach. So he says on Halach Ma'anya, the end of it, we say Hashta or Hashata Avdei Lishana Haba B'nei Chorin, first Hashata Hacha Lishana Haba Ba'ara Di Yisrael, Hashata Avdei Lishana Haba B'nei Chorin, that we say that right now or this year we are servants, or this year we are, next year we should be in we should be free. So the Maharal asks, what's the reason that in the language the Haggadah chose, that the Baal Haggadah chose, that we start out with in Aramaic Hashata Hacha, that this year we're here, and then we switch to Lishana Haba, and we don't say Lishasa Da'asa, right? So he quotes that there are some who say that they changed to Aramaic because they didn't want the Babylonians to hear and think that they were rebelling. And he said, the Maharal rejects that completely. The Maharal says, if that were true, then let's read the whole line. It says, Lishana Haba Ba'ara de Yisrael. If we're trying to switch to Hebrew so that the Babylonians won't hear, we should have said Lishana Haba Be'eretz Yisrael. Why are we switching right back to Aramaic right after we say Lishana Haba, we switch back to Aramaic and say Be'ara de Yisrael. We should have said Be'eretz Yisrael. So the Maharal does not accept that explanation. He wants to know, why is it that mid-sentence we say Hashata and then Lashana Abba, and then we do it again by Avadim and Bnei Chorim, we say Hashata Avdi Lashana Abba Bnei Chorim. So the Maharal says that the word Shana comes from the Lashon Shinoi, so it means change. And the we saw the Gra said the same idea, the same connection, but a very different direction that the Maharal takes it. The Gra that we quoted a couple weeks ago, and I think last week also, says that the word Shana means change because it changes from day to day. Each day in it is different, and therefore that's the idea. But the Maharal takes a very different direction with this. The Maharal says that Shana, year, comes from the language of Shinoi, of change. It says because each year is different from the next. There's a different situation, there's a different mazel, there's a different spiritual state in each year. And each year has its own unique character, its own unique status, its own unique environment and energy that it brings. And therefore, in answering the question that he is asking, he says that we are saying Lishana Haba, that we should have a Shinoi in the state of affairs that we're in. We shouldn't continue in the same way that we are now. We're not just going to be basically the same, but now we're relocated. It should be a shinoi of our mazel. It should change the entire state of our existence. That change should lead to, that's going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it's Lishana Haba, that it's through the Shinoi, it's through the change, it's through the alteration, the newness that is coming along, that we should end up in Eretz Yisrael. And it's through a change, it's something, it's an innovation, it's something coming about, there's a difference that we're going to be B'nai Chorin. It's not just the happenstance that we're going to no longer be slaves, but it's something completely new. It's a complete change that comes about. As the Jewish perspective on time, I think that some people view time as a circle. We have a year, and the years go round and round in a circle. And it's basically repeating over and over the same thing, going back through the same. Every year we have Pesach, and every year we have Shavuos, and every year we have, and the we're cycling through all of these, spiritual states that are throughout the year. We go around and around. I don't believe that's correct. I heard this once from a Rebbe. I think a lot of sense that really Judaism views time as a spiral, hopefully a rising spiral, hopefully going up, but that each year is on a different madriga, is on a different level than the previous year. You're not just going around in circles and repeating yourself and going through the same thing over and over and over. Each year cycles through the same hashbaos, the same spiritual waves. As I heard once, that the reason that time is called Zman is because we move through time. Time brings about the spiritual state. It sets the stage. It's what, to be mazmin means to set something up. To hazmana means to order something. To be mazmin can mean to prepare something. The idea of zimun, to invite, but the general idea, the broader cognitive meaning, is the idea of setting something up. And that's what Zman does. Zman sets up the state of being of the world. And each time it's that there are these spiritual hashbos that every year on Pesach there's an energy of chayrus that comes into the world. A spiritual energy of freedom. Some people mistakenly think that we celebrate Pesach on the 15th of Nisan because that's when we got out of Egypt. But that's not true. Avram Avinu celebrated Pesach hundreds of years before, and there are plenty of references to Avram was eating matzah. All these different things that Yitzchak. He wanted Esav to get him the Gedeim for one was going to be for the Korban Pesach, right? That they had the celebrating thing that came. Pesach being a Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim can only happen after Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's really the other way around. Pesach happened on the 15th of Nisan because the 15th of Nisan is a day of Chayrus. There's an inherent spiritual flow that comes into the world on the 15th of Nisan, and riding on that spiritual wave is why Klal Yisrael achieved Chayrus on the 15th of Nisan, because that's a day when you have that energy in the world. And that when we're not just remembering, recalling, and commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim or Shavuos Matan Torah or any of the Yom Tovim that come along. We're not just remembering them and thinking back on them and contemplating them. We are reliving them because the same spiritual energy, the same spiritual state that came into the world and brought about that Yom Tov comes about again when the year goes back to that, when the calendar gets back to that point. The Zman is Mazmin, sets up that spiritual state of that time. And that's what happens, that's what going through the year is cycling through and moving through, rotating through that spiritual cycle, that spiritual order of events, but each year is on its own level. Each year is with its own unique character. Each year has its own aspect to it, because each year has its own mazel, its own shinoi that changes the nature of the general picture, and that's refracted into the events of the year. But each point on its own, but each year has its own level, its own aspect to the nature of that year. Really, it's somewhat of an uplifting point to know. Every year coming into Rosh Hashanah, you know that Rosh Hashanah is really a fresh start. It's a changing wind it's going to be different than the last year. It's an opportunity to seize on the change and to bring about something new, to make things different than they were the last year, even though you might be going back through the same things. You're going back through all of the same events, all of the same ideas and things that happened in the previous year, but each year brings with it a newness, a shinoi. There's something different about it that each year you have the opportunity to bring about a change. And that's what the Maharal says, that was by our hope by the Pesach Seder, is that next year there will be a shinoi, will bring a change, and we'll be able to bring something new and to be through that be zocha to go back to Yerushalayim, to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and to be B'nai Chorin through that shinoi. I think that this is the could be the idea of Barich Aleinu es Hashana Hazos, that this year, this shinoi, this change, this iteration of the spiritual cycle that we're in should be for a bracha, and we're asked that the that it's specifically this year, and this it's there's something unique to this year. This year is not just another round through the same thing, and therefore, you know, if last year was good, this year will be good also, and it's going to be that in the all of the same factors that and the only thing that could possibly change is, you know, the opportunities that we the actions that we do. No, that there's that each year has its own general state of that year, and the and therefore we're davening that that this year the bracha the mazel of this year should be for a bracha, the general nature of this year, the shinoi that comes about for the year that we're in now, that that should be for a bracha. I was thinking somewhat half joking, but that probably makes it, having this approach probably makes it harder the further you get through the year to still have the same kavana in this point. You know, once you're already halfway through Elul, you know, you're already getting ready for next year. So what am I worried about? What am I worried about the mazel of this year? You know, it's already you know, get rid of this year and it's klalos. It's the, you know, the we read the klalos before the end of the year to.
Shana hazos, that's that year.
Is this year? Until Nisan or Tishrei, I guess we could talk about which one, right? But I mean, that's the Shana Azos. A similar note, the Eitz Yosef, I saw that Ion Tefila makes the same point, that they say that the idea of Barich Aleinu as Hashana as Hashana, that doesn't mean to bless the year. So it doesn't mean to bless the year. It means to bless Bichlal in general, to bless all of the events of the year, that there should be a general trend of bracha for this year. The same idea that the bracha, what does it mean to have a bracha on the shana, on the year, means to have that the general state, the general trend of all of the events of the year should be for a bracha. The Ion Tefila says, that contrasts that with later with the next line, right? Barich Aleinu Hashana Hazos as kol mine the es kol mine tefua salatova. He says kol mine tefua, which we'll get to the other explanations for what that significance of that in a moment. But that kol mine tevua, all the different types of tevua of produce, should be also lebracha. He says that's the prat. When you say that, saying first bless the shana, bless the year, that there should be a general sense, a general trend of bracha, and then the as kol mine every tevua should also have a bracha. That's going on this all the specific details, that each thing individually should also be for its own bracha. So the year in general should be for a bracha, and within that, you know, you're setting a baseline that everything has a general trend of a positive energy. Within that, each specific thing, each individual thing, should also be for a bracha. Everything should turn out. Each thing in a vacuum, each thing on its own, should also have that that nature of a bracha. Just one last point, part before we finish for the night. So kol mine tefua salatova. So the Eitz Yosef says that kol mine tefua salatova, that how is that the question to ask is that that's a very nice bracha for farmers, that all the produce should be good. But doesn't seem to go. How is that a general bracha for everyone? So the Eitz Yosef says first of all, he says that all peros, all produce is called tevua. Tevua is generally called Grain is specifically referred to as tevua, but the Eitz Yosef brings based on he brings a pasuk in Nehemiah in Parak Tes pasuk Lamed Zayin. I don't have Tanakh with me over here, so the pasuk. But based on this, the usage of the word in this verse, he shows that the word really refers generally to all types of produce can be called tevua, and he says that the bracha latova should be that it's a shenas zol, it's a year of inexpense. That if there's a bruce, be generally more available, and therefore it's going to be some of a trickle down bracha for everyone, and that the bracha that impacts everyone because the produce is something which is very everyone needs that in the baseline. If you have everyone knows when milk goes up in price. So then everyone ends up spending, because then pizza becomes more expensive, because the cheese is more expensive, because milk is more expensive, and the broad implications, but that there's a base, there's a network.
It's also said in the Washington area, there's so many government employees, and the government puts a cost of living raise in.
The government puts what?
Cost of living raise into the paycheck.
There's a net, there's an interconnectedness of everything, that the bracha that just impacts the tvua has a trickle down, a net, the bracha, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu can give the bracha in just this one thing and work it out. That bracha will impact everyone. You have that baseline and it branches out, and the bracha will be reaching to everyone who deserves the bracha will get it from that one source. The Avnei Eliyahu was also not addressing this question directly, but I think is answering this question. The Avnei Eliyahu says that the word tevua, he relates it to the word bow. It says that it's everything that will come, everything that will happen during this year, all of everything that's coming during this year. So it's not a bracha on grain or produce. It's a bracha on everything that might come up. It's a bracha towards the future. Anything that might come my way, anything which could come up. And I think the Gra said that the idea of Shana is that each day is its own change. There's this every day, all Shin Nun Hey, all 355 days of the Jewish year have shinoi in them. Each one changes from day to day. So everything that comes up through all the changes, through all of the innovation, all of the differences that come up through the year, and everything that keeps changing and keep happening, new things, that everything that comes my way, everything unexpected, and anything that could happen, and there's all the potential of what could be in the coming year. Kol minei tevua, all types of things that might come my way, should be latova, should come out good. The bracha, then that's the not a bracha on one specific area, but the bracha on everything that might happen, anything, all the potential that the year has, that should all be la bracha, that everything that comes my way should be for a bracha, the kol minei tevuasa latova. All right, so we'll stop here for tonight, and next week we will continue with the same bracha. All right, have a good night.